last case for consideration today.
Case number 8240333, Robert Weber versus Carver County.
Just some preliminary remarks, Mr. Weber. Before you take the podium, each of you will have 15 minutes for presentation of your case. 5 minutes is reserved to appellant counsel for rebuttal. Please state your name and indicate who you're speaking on behalf of before making your arguments. And also a reminder, there is a lever button underneath the podium if you want to move it up or down, depending on your preference. And Mr. Weber, when you're ready, you have the floor.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Robert Weber. I'm an attorney and I'm representing myself in this matter. I filed an administrative complaint against Carver County for violation of the Data Practices Act in December 2023. The Chief Administrative Law Judge dismissed the complaint, saying that it was time barred. The Chief ALJ indicated that I was not eligible for a hearing on my complaint because it was time barred, and this court has de novo review of that decision.
So that's the sole issue before us, is the timeliness?
That's what I would say is the sole issue. That's the only issue that was raised by the Chief ALJ. There was an initial administrative...
But you're conceding, you've acknowledged that January 2020 is when the child protection assessment was made or undertaken, and you didn't file until you needed to file by February 2022. As I read your papers, Mr. Weber, you understand that you didn't comply with the time requirement, but you're saying you have an exception.
No, that's not correct, Your Honor. What I'm saying is that today, July 18th, 2024, Carver County is currently violating the Data Practices Act. Right now, they're violating the Data Practices Act under 13.05. So let me give you a scenario of how you can maybe understand the situation.
I don't understand why you argue that that's ongoing. That's not one of the exceptions that's created by statute. Now, here's my question to you. What authority are you relying on to say that this is a recurring, ongoing event? The statute...
1305 says that data cannot be stored, maintained, or used if it was collected unlawfully or not in accordance to what was described in 1304, the Tennyson warning. So what's supposed to happen is when the data is collected, the government's required to explain to you the purpose of the data, the use of the data. So for example, if Carver County came to you in 2020 and said they needed your medical records for some CDC analysis of COVID, and then you agreed to give them your medical records in 2020, and then in 2023, 3 years later, they post your medical records on their website so the whole world can see, you're allowed to bring an administrative complaint and basically compel them to comply with the original purpose for what the data was taken. But in my case, they never gave the Tennyson warning, and the statute and decades of advisory opinions explain that if they don't give the Tennyson warning, they're not supposed to keep the data at all. So I'm alleging, and because this isn't a complaint, the allegation should be assumed as true, I'm alleging that right now, today, they still have the data that they collected in 2020 and 2021. They've stored it, they've maintained it, they've used it, and that obligation is indefinite. So in the case of the medical records, if you provide your medical records to the government with an understanding that they're going to use them for a specific purpose, they have an obligation forever to abide by that specific purpose. And if
I think I understand your argument, but so then what is the import, if any, of the two-year statute of limitations, if you will, that is baked into the statute?
The two-year time bar has many applications in the Data Practices Act. The most common situation would be if I made a data practices request to Carver County and they said that there was no data available, or they said, you know, they gave me information, I wasn't happy with the information that they gave me, then I would have 2 years to bring an administrative complaint to complain about that response to a Data Practices
Act.
But
in the context of the claim you've made here, which is the violation of 1304, under your scenario of an ongoing violation, is the two-year statute of limitations completely meaningless?
Well,
like it is.
It basically is, because what the way the Data Practices Act is structured is they're supposed to tell you the specific use of the data, and then they have a forever obligation to maintain that use. If you ratify, if you affirm the decision of the chief ALJ, it means that government entities can do whatever they want with your data after 2 years, because you can't bring a complaint to compel them to comply with the original purpose for which the data was collected.
But that's not quite true, because if they go outside, you can still make a complaint about how they're using the information.
That's right. You can make a complaint because they are using the information in violation of how it was originally collected. So the way the statute is set up is 1304 says that when they originally collect the data, they have to explain to you why they collect the data and what they're going to use the data for. And they have a forever obligation to maintain that. And if they change their use of the data, they have to tell you, and you can bring an action.
Right. So if they use the information tomorrow, you could bring a complaint.
Except that the statute under 1305 says they can't store, maintain, or use the data. And I allege that they currently have, they've stored, they've maintained, and they've used the data. Okay, and because
they stored the data in violation, as alleged, more than 2 years ago. So I can see your argument about some new use, but I have problems with going back to the...
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. The county has made an argument that they stored it 2 years ago as if storing is a one-time occurrence. They collected the data over 2 years ago. They continue to store, maintain, and use the data today.
The original storage happened.
It was collection. It was the collection of the data.
More than 2 years ago.
It was collection of the data more than 2 years ago. That's correct. And for all private and confidential data, if it's collected at any time by any government entity, they have an obligation to maintain the original use and the...
And if it's violated, you can bring a complaint at that time.
That's right. And if they don't provide the Tennyson warning, which is what I allege, which should be assumed as true, then they're not supposed to have the data at all. That's the way 1304 and 1305 are read together.
Can I ask you?
Okay, go ahead.
I want to ask you a different question, and that's really going to ask you to read 1308 and 1308.5 together, because I know you brought a civil action arising out of making the same claim, basically, against the HHS representative of Carver County, correct?
That's right.
All right, so I'm looking at 13.08, which talks about civil remedies, and subdivision 4 says, actions to compel compliance may be brought either under this subdivision or section 13.085. You already brought the civil action. Why were you even entitled to bring an administrative action?
Well, that's a good question. This court in Halva versus Minskew, 937 Northwest 2nd 471, decided in 2019, makes clear that a complainant is able to bring a civil action for damages. And Judge Smith wrote the order denying my proceeding to a trial because I didn't show causation. I established duty, breach of duty, and damages, and I didn't establish causation. I don't have to establish causation here, but I can bring an administrative complaint to compel compliance with the statute. And Halva specifically says, Mr. Halva is correct. He could bring a complaint in the OAH seeking to compel compliance with the MGDPA and then file a complaint in district court seeking damages based on the same alleged violation. So I'm doing what the statute allows. I'm doing it in the reverse order of Halva. Halva brought first the OAH claim and then later the civil damages claim. So I'm doing the exact same thing.
What is the significance, if any, of our court's May 6, 2024 order finding or affirming the grant of summary judgment dismissing your civil action as failing to present genuine issues of material fact on causation of damages? if anything?
Well, it has significance because assuming the Supreme Court doesn't grant cert, it means that I can't bring a trial for damages. What I'm seeking here is an administrative complaint to compel compliance to have the records destroyed. So I'm seeking not damages. There's never been a claim of damages in this administrative complaint, but the statute allows you to compel compliance and to seek that the damages to seek that the records be destroyed, and that's what I'm seeking as the remedy.
Somewhere I read in this volume of papers that have come before this court and others that the county stated that there was the argument between the difference between an assessment and an investigation, and that there was no data that was collected, and therefore they were in compliance. Can you flesh that out?
Well, those would be arguments to be made at the hearing on whether they complied with the statute or not. I still have to establish that they have violated this, that they currently violate the statute. My son was taken twice in 2020. The initial time was through an assessment. The second time was through an investigation. And so, I would make an argument that in addition...
What I'm getting at is what is your objective? What are you hoping to achieve?
I'm hoping to have a hearing to establish that they violated the Data Practices Act and they should not maintain any of the private and confidential records that were collected in 2020 and 2021.
You're saying there were none because there was an assessment.
No, they only said that there were no records that they gave the Tennyson warning. So I did a Data Practices Act to find out whether they gave the Tennyson warning because I had no...
Go back and the way I'm looking at this is then, even if we agreed with you today that there was no Tennyson warning, let's just assume there was no Tennyson warning, I still don't follow your argument in terms of how you can move forward because to me it's dispositive on the timing. If you had not filed your complaint by the February 2022 date, you filed in 2023, I don't know how we get past that.
Because I'm claiming that the violation is right now in 2024. So it's the exact same situation. The way the Tennyson warning is read is that if the government doesn't give you the Tennyson warning, they should never have the data at all. And if they have the data, it should be destroyed. That's the way 1304 and 1305 are read together. And there are multiple over decades of advisory opinions by the Department of Administration explaining that's what it means. Just like
what authority can you give me a case that I can follow that says that even though you did not file until December 2023, that this case is still viable today?
Well, there's no case on that. There's no, and that I know of, there's no Court of Appeals case or Supreme Court case on that. There's only this idea, that there's no res judicata. The Halva case holds for that. And that 1304 and 1305, when read together, mean that the government should not hold any data if they don't provide you the Tennyson warning, just like if they ask for your medical record and 10 years later they decided to post it on a website, the government can't come in and say, sorry, it's been 10 years, because they're required forever to comply with whatever they say they initially collected the data for. In my case...
And yet, 13.085 makes it very clear that regardless of how long they keep it, you have to act within 2 years of the occurrence of the act or failure to act. That's the subject. If the failure is failure to give the Tennyson warning, you knew about that, that happened in January of 2020. I'm struggling. I looked at all of the administrative cases. I mean, frankly, there's a difference between the authority being in violation and the subject having a cause of action, right? Or a right to pursue, because only one is bound by 2 years. I agree with you, the authority needs to comply with the Data Practices Act at all times. The issue of whether you have a claim or can seek administrative relief seems to me a different question. Why am I wrong about that?
Well, I agree it's a different question, but I think that you're missing the point that today they have the data, they have maintained, stored, and used the data. Today.
Obtained in violation of...
Well, that's how you prove it. Just like if a medical record was requested in 2020 and in 10 years' time... That person is going to have to look back to what was told to them when the data was collected.
Don't you have to claim then that they concealed that information and that there was misrepresentation made? I didn't see that in your papers. That to me would give reason to consider extending that.
Well, I don't have to show that because, well, first of all, I'm not alleging that. I don't believe that that occurred. Because what I'm saying is that the violation is right now, today. They're violating the statute right now. So I know we just had a case. I listened to the other case. It was interesting about the time bars and everything. This is a current violation of the law. So a time bar, I mean, if somebody's currently violating the law, now how do you prove that they're currently violating the law? You have a hearing and you show that they have data that they shouldn't have because of something that occurred. It could have been forever ago.
More than 2 years ago. Yeah.
That's my argument. Thank you.
And you'll have your 5 minutes for rebuttal. We'll hear from the county.
May it please the court. My name is Ann Gehring, and I'm representing Carver County. We are here today on another one of Mr. Weber's collateral attacks on what is essentially a CHIPS case. There was a CHIPS case filed years ago. This is fundamentally, he wants to, as he's just said right now, destroy all the data related to the underlying CHIPS case. That's what this is about. That's what this always has been about. Fundamentally, I'm going to go into this. There was a juvenile court proceeding. Those records belong to the county. There are records about the juvenile court case. There was also a lawsuit brought against the county. The county has its files regarding the lawsuit that was filed against it. There are all of those records have been introduced into court. So in addition, and I'll get to the first part of the argument, there's also a res judicata in 13.085 where it states that any records that have been introduced as evidence in court, we don't destroy those records no matter what. Under the Data Practices Act, OAH doesn't give an order destroying records that have been introduced into court. And here we have juvenile court proceedings that went through a whole CHIPS proceeding on this case. Whatever was or wasn't, and there was a whole dispute over whether every element of the Tennyson warning, and certainly most of the elements of the Tennyson warning were given. That was a whole part of the May Court of Appeals decision in that records. They were mostly given. There's some dispute about whether every element of the Tennyson warning was given or not. But there was a whole underlying CHIPS case in Carver County District Juvenile Court. Those records, all the interviews, the assessments, everything, district court, juvenile court orders, those records were in district court. And yes, Carver County has a CHIPS file regarding the juvenile court records. There was then a lawsuit brought. Those juvenile court records, those proceedings, the assessments, the interviews, all of that was introduced as evidence. Some of it was under seal, but that was introduced in Hennepin County District Court and is part of the appellate court records. We do not, under 13.085, destroy evidence, records that were introduced into evidence.
Well, we have a timetable,
yes,
under 13.085 that we are looking at. One of the arguments that Mr. Weber made in his written submissions was that he was alerted to the fact that there might be a violation when he read of the case Jepson v. Pope, which had to do with duties to report. Can you distinguish or respond to his reliance on that particular case as a basis to suspend or give him time to continue to be in compliance?
Well, that's just, Mr. Weber can't say he didn't know he didn't get a Tennyson warning. That's like saying, gosh, I didn't know. That's saying an attorney doesn't know whether he was or wasn't given an attorney. That's ignorance of the law is no excuse. You don't learn whether you were given a Tennyson warning when you read case law. You either were given a Tennyson warning or you weren't given a Tennyson warning. And you knew you were given it or not given it all along. The fact that he went through an entire juvenile court proceeding for well over a year and a half, and only after the whole proceeding was ended, he said suddenly he realizes he wasn't given a Tennyson warning when he made a data practices request. No, he knew all along whether he was or wasn't given a Tennyson warning. He was in district court. The district court judge told him all of the elements of the Tennyson warning right in open court. There's a transcript in, you can read the appellate court file. It was one of the exhibits in the Court of Appeals decision that was just issued a couple of months ago. As far as this idea which we've just been listening to, that it never end, the 2 years never starts. That simply isn't true. The statute under 13.085, the complaint must be filed with the office within 2 years after the occurrence of the act or the failure to act that is the subject of the complaint. There has to be an act or failure to act. The act or failure to act was either the issuance or the non-issuance of a Tennyson warning.
What's your reading of how the opinion crafted by John Smith on May 6, 2024, how does that impact, if at all, our decision on this case matter?
Well, in that case, there was the issue of the whole Tennyson warning issue was brought. There is some issue of collateral estoppel as far as the underlying case. As far as, I mean, there's three issues here. One is the timeliness issue. This case, the 2 years goes back to the act or the failure to act.
But why wouldn't we agree with the relator that one of the actions is the continued storage of information provided without a Tennyson warning?
The continued storage isn't an act or failure to act. You collect the data when you're sitting and talking to somebody. That's the collection. And then you store it. You put it in a filing cabinet. You put it on the electronic file. That is when it is stored. That's the act of storage. Then it just sits there. That isn't an act. You're not acting or failure to act. Once it is stored, it is stored. It is sitting there. It's like putting the blankets in the closet. You're not acting or failing to act once the blanket is in the closet. What goes on in the 20 years or 30 years later is if somebody then goes up into the closet and takes the blanket out or the data out and does something different with it, that's a new act. And I would certainly agree that if Carver County goes up into the closet and takes that data out and starts using it differently, that's a new act. And that would start a new two-year statute of limitations. But there's no evidence and no allegation here that anybody went into the closet and took that data out and did something new with it.
What's the significance of the advisory opinions that Relator submitted in connection with the reply brief,
yes,
setting aside whether you can provide new information in the reply
brief? Well, every single one of them, I've read them all say, and then they used it differently. And Mr. Weber is ignoring the fact that every single one of them says you have to give a Tennyson warning if you're going to use it, and you have to give a new Tennyson warning, and you have to have if you're going to use the data. Every single one of them that was cited refer to if you're going to use the data in a different way. And I agree with that. If you have given a Tennyson warning or failed to give a Tennyson warning in the statute of limitations for the 2 years, and you're going to go take that data out of the closet and use it in a different way, in a new way, you've got to go back and follow the statute of either going to the person and asking them if you can use it for a different use, or there's some exceptions in the statute. If the legislature allows you to use it in a different way, there's a court order that lets you to do it without a Tennyson warning. If the commissioner of administration allows you to use it differently, there's certain exceptions right in the statute here. Under 1305 subdivision 4, data collected private or confidential may be used by specifically authorized to access the data under certain law. So even if you haven't given a Tennyson warning for a new use, if there's a specific law that allows you to do it, you can. If may be disseminated for law enforcement purposes, if there's a court order, you can do that even without a new Tennyson warning under certain circumstances. Or you can go back to the person and say, yes, we gave this notice to you, or maybe we didn't. Like, even if we assume the allegation here that we didn't give a Tennyson warning, the 2 years, 5 years, 10 years have gone back, hey, we've got this data on you, we need to use this for a new purpose, we get authorization to do it.
And that would then start a new two-year claim, yes,
it
period
would.
To the extent that the person who's the subject of the information disagrees with your with the authorities.
Yes, and they
reuse,
say, none of these other exceptions apply, and I'm not going to authorize it, and you do it anyway, or you don't ask. That would start the new 2 years, putting it up on the internet. Go into the closet, take that data, go into the file cabinet, go into the electronic storage thing, take that data out that you have collected back in 2020, and now you're using it, putting it up on the website, the internet, you're releasing it someplace without authorization, without a new Tennyson warning. Yes, that would start a new 2 years, but it isn't. It's sitting in the closet with the blankets, or it's sitting on our computer system Nothing's happening with it. It's just sitting there. That's not an act or a failure to act. That's just every single day happening. There's no action happening. So something new has to have happened after the 2 years. Some act or failure to act has to have happened after that 2 years to reinvigorate a new two-year statute of limitation, and it simply hasn't happened. There's no allegation that it's happened. So I think as far as the statute of limitations, it clearly nothing falls within that. In addition, we have this idea that this data, which the chief judge didn't, the original ALJ in this matter, also cited to the fact that this data under the under 13.05 has been introduced into court, and there is no authority to say we have to go and destroy data that has been introduced into evidence into court. Are there any additional questions?
It appears not.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. And Relator, you have your 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Thank you. So if we just accept the idea that the data are blankets in the closet, the point is that the violation of the law is that they shouldn't have the blankets in the closet. So I'm seeking a hearing to document that they shouldn't have the blankets in the closet, that the blankets need to be destroyed, and so if in the future something comes up, they have to conduct a regular investigation, they can't go back into the closet because they're not supposed to have the blankets in the closet to begin with. So the violation of the statute is the fact, so you have to look at the definition of the word store and maintain. 1305 says that it says use is one of them, and so there was a lot of emphasis on use, but the statute specifically says they shouldn't be storing the data. And so they are storing the data. They're basically admitting that they're storing the data, and that is a current today violation of the statute. This argument about introducing things in court, these other arguments about whether I got the Tennyson, those are all for the hearing. We can have a substantive evidentiary hearing.
Stop you right here. So you agree with the storage of the blanket. So I'm looking at 1305 subdivisions 4. Private or confidential data on an individual shall not be stored for any purposes other than those stated to the individual at the time of the collection in accordance with section 13.04. Again, that ties us back to the original warning given in 2020, doesn't it? Doesn't that tie the storage to that period of time?
Well, that's how
the 2 year runs.
Well, that's how you're going to prove that they're doing something inconsistent with the collection. So the way the Data Practices Act works is the data is collected.
Collected, stored, used, or disseminated. All flows back to the
but that will
always purposes stated. Back when the Tennyson
That's right, and that always has to be the case, just like if they collect your medical record for the CDC and then 10 years later they decide, oh, let's check this guy's medical record, but if it's sitting there and it's being and it wasn't supposed to sit there, then that's the claim. So
relates to a violation of 1304, which again seems to be something that happened more than 2 years before you commence this claim.
Except that the violation of the law is today. So what my complaint alleges is that today they're violating the law, and I want to have a hearing to establish that they're violating the law today, and the way I'm going to show that they violated the law today relates to when the data was collected, and that's permitted under 1305. Thank you.
Thank you. The case has been argued and submitted. A decision will be issued in the statutory time frame. We appreciate you being here today. That does conclude our oral argument calendar. This court is adjourned.
All rise.